You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Plenty of action to come up on Sunday. Something for everyone, really. We've got British action from Savile Plumpton and Foss Lass, and I'm sure the guys in the studio will be keen to fit in as much as they can from the first day of the Irish Grand National meeting at Fairy House. Ollie Pimlott, John Budden and Paddy Aspall, your team in the Racing Radio studio from about 1:55 in the afternoon. But for now, here on the Racing Podcast, my name's John Gibby, joined in the studio by Andrew Mount. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, John. Yes. Sounds like we've got three wise men in the studio on Sunday, which brings us to the 3:55 at Fairy House. Number three wise men is running.
Oh, that was a very good, smooth transition into... We should probably explain that, as usual on the podcast, you're going to plot two selections for Sunday's action.
No, I jumped the gun there, haven't I?
Rather than just, you know, randomly talking about Henry de Bromhead horses, which I know you love to do.
But, absolutely.
Without any further ado, let's hear what your two selections are. And does one of them run in the 3:55 at Fairy House?
Funnily enough, it does, but it's not three wise men. Oh. So this is a 2 mile novices handicap chase, quite a valuable one. It's a grade B contest, as they call them in Ireland. €29,500 to the winner, and it's going to be run on ground they're calling heavy in places with showers forecast. So I think we can pretty much call it heavy.
Yeah.
All round for that reason. And I'm going down the bottom of the weights with the youngest horse in the race. That's the 6-year-old, the Irregular, for Dennis Hogan. Now, this one's also ridden by a £3 claimer, Andrew Ring, so he's going to have 10 stone dead, which will be certainly helpful in this sort of desperate ground that he's going to be encountering here. Now, the angle here is with Dennis Hogan runners when they go to Handicap Chase Company for the first time. And he's got a fantastic record in these circumstances. Not a massive sample size, 29 runners. But of those 29, 6 have won, 23% strike rate, and a profit of £30.25 to a £1 level stake. That's over a 115% on turnover. So this is an angle I like to explore. And so he ran well in a novice chase last time out at Leopardstown over 2 miles. And you look back at that race, he wasn't particularly knocked around after being hampered. And so back in Handicap Company for the first time over fences, I think the Irregular can boost those stats for Dennis Hogan in this contest off a nice low weight.
Stating the obvious a little bit perhaps as well, but, you know, receiving the thick end of a stone and a half in the top weight on that sort of ground has got to be a big bonus in a competitive handicap chase.
Yeah, certainly not going to hurt. I mean, you look at the previous winners of this race. We've got sort of 9 renewals, and you know, only one horse has carried a big weight. That was 11 stone 10 back in 2012. Lucky William. Everything else has had 11-3 or less. Most of them 10 stone something.
The Irregular then in Fairy House is 3:55, the first day of the Irish Grand National meeting. And yeah, that gets underway on Sunday. There's also racing in Wales on Sunday. Foss Lass has its West Wales National meeting, the feature race, off at 4:35. As usual, this is scheduled to be run in pretty attritional conditions, Andrew. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, Foss Lass is one of those tracks you don't really need to check the official going, because you can be pretty sure it's going to be heavy, and that's what we've got here.
Though, having said that, the other day they had to abandon races at Bath because too much water.
Yeah, exactly.
The patterns are being disrupted.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been a very wet winter, hasn't
yeah.
it? And yeah, it's been pretty tricky in terms of abandonments. But yeah, hopefully we'll actually see the words "good to firm" in a going description at some point in the near future. But yeah, going back to this 4:35 at Foss Lass, this is the West Wales National. They can't call it the Welsh National, because we've already got one of those.
Did I call it the Welsh National?
Sorry?
Did I call it the Welsh National?
No.
No?
No, I said you can't, as in...
No, people
generally down the pub.
Oh, I see.
Passing each other in the street can't say it's the Welsh National at Foslas.
Would it be too confusing for there to be the Welsh National and the Wales National?
Yeah, that's just silly.
Okay, moving on.
Right, so this one, I'm going down the bottom of the weights again. 11th of the 12 runners. That's Keelock Annie for Jackie Du Plessis here. Now, Keelock Annie, and I checked pronunciation by watching her last run, and that's what Darren Owen called it. So if I've got the Gaelic wrong, then blame him.
He's usually quite good at the Gaelic pronunciations,
yeah,
isn't he?
That's right. And... yeah, Keelock Annie was a winner at Uttoxeter on New Year's Eve, justifying favouritism by 5 lengths over 3 miles on heavy going. And the time before that had run a really good race at Exeter. Again, another marathon handicap chase, 3 miles, 6.5 furlongs on soft ground up a hill. So he finished fourth at 14-1, beaten just over 5 lengths despite stumbling. And... the key here seems to have been, well, a couple of things. For the last 3 runs, he's had a tongue tie on. In those 3 runs, he's finished 3rd, 4th, and 1st, 16-1, 14-1, and 5-2. And they've also changed his running style as well. He used to be patiently ridden, come from way back, say 3 runs ago at Chepstow when he was 25 lengths behind Ramesses de Taille, mid-division, so the time before that, midfield, and before that, held up. Now, there's a good quote from Jackie Du Plessis after that Uttoxeter win. So Keelock Annie was a bit difficult at home, but she got it together today. She went to the front last time at Exeter, and it was a revelation, as we've always held her up. So I think she could be well ahead of her mark still. She won that Uttoxeter race off 104. She's gone up £9, which might seem a lot, but... I think there could be plenty more to come. And what's interesting as well, she's often gone best in the spring. In 2016, she hadn't raced since New Year's Day when finishing second at Exeter. She came back from a break to win over 2 miles 7 at Exeter on the 22nd of March, beating Sperodek into second. Ah. Sperodek this year has been a revelation, running second to Undersow at Ascot, I believe. And then again, last year... Keelock Annie didn't win a race, but she did reserve her best effort for the 23rd of March when she came back from a little break to finish third at Chepstow. So this has been a time of year in the past. She seems to have improved since new tactics were adopted. She stays marathon trips. She loves soft or heavy going. So I think she's got to be the best bet of the day on Sunday.
Keelock Annie, correct Gaelic pronunciation and all. The selection of Andrew Mount in the West Wales National.
That's the one.
We don't want to see any Welsh anywhere near here. No. Well, we do at Foslas because it's obviously a well-respected Welsh venue. The 4:35.
Keep digging.
I will keep digging. Lovely place, Foslas. Near where my grandparents live. The 4:35 is the West Wales National, and Andrew Mount likes Keelock Annie. We look slightly further afield now to the feature race of the meeting at Ferry House, that sort of Easter meeting, and that is the Irish Grand National, of course run over the marathon trip of 3 miles and 5 furlongs. And as always, Andrew, it's looking a highly competitive affair.
Yeah, never easy, and you can just go through and look at some of the starting prices of previous winners of this race. We've had a couple of favourites in recent years, or joint favourites, I think, including last year. But we've also had plenty of big prices as well. Just bringing the stats up now, if my Racing Post website decides to work. Yeah, I mean, last year our Duke was 9-2 favourite, but in reverse order from 2016, Rogue Angel 16-1, Luke Elder's Nap, which he's still dining out on. The year before, 20-1, Shut the Front Door in 2014 was the 8-1 favourite, but then before that, 50-1, 33-1, 12-1, 25-1, 33-1 twice. One of those was Niche Market for Bob Buckler, the last British trained runner to land this race. And I'm not even sure if we've got any British runners this time round. I know there was only one entered at the 5-day stage, but perhaps come back to that a little bit later. But the market is headed by, I think it's Pair of Brown Eyes at the moment, is that right?
That's right, currently at time of recording 7-1.
Yeah, now that's trained by Woolly Mullins, but I'm going to go for another Mullins runner as my main selection, and that's Bell's Hill. Got quite a lot of weight here. He's got an £8 penalty, takes his weight up to 11 stone 5. But Bell's Hill has long been in my tracker as a horse to back right-handed. Now, Fairy House, of course, is a right-handed track. And I think his record this way round after that win here in Grade 3 company on his belated seasonal debut last time is 7 from 7. So he loves going this way round. Not so good left-handed. At the last count, I think it was about 1 from 9 going that way round. Last time he went this left-handed, he'd beaten at Cheltenham. The time before that, he fell at Leopardstown. But right-handed, he's proved unbeatable to date. And although he's in a big field handicap as opposed to a small field conditions contest, I think there's plenty more improvement to come this way round. So at 8-1, Bell's Hill would be the main play. And I'm also quite interested in a Joseph O'Brien runner here. That's Arc Wrist. Number 19, ridden by Rachel Blackmore and one of many runners for Jigginstown here.
Purple cap, if anyone's keeping count.
Yes, that's right. Is that the 7th string? The 8th, yeah. The 18th string? Who knows?
Good luck to the commentator.
Exactly. And, it's got a nice low weight here. So, due to carry 9 stone 12, Rachel Blackmore on board. And this one looks to have been laid out for the race. It's got a decent record with plenty of cut. And... last time out was running over an inadequate trip at Nace, only beat one home, but was still only beaten by 14 lengths. So back over a more realistic trip. The last time he went in excess of 3 miles, he made the frame at Cork, finishing 4th of 14. And I think this has been the target for some time. So been nibbled out in the betting recently as well. 50s, 33s and now 25-1 Arc Wrist. So if you're looking for a bigger price alternative to the one of the favourites, Bell's Hill for Willie Mullins, then look no further than Arc Wrist for Joseph O'Brien.
Bell's Hill 8-1 at time of recording. We'll just take a quick look at those towards the head of the betting pair of Brown Eyes 7-1. Bell's Hill 8-1. 8-1 also Maldini with Mombeg Notorious and 9-1. Folsom Blue 10-1. Art of Hope and Dreams 12s, 14-1 for Dunikos and Squirter. Oscar Knight then 16-1 with Bless the Wings at 18-1 last year's runner-up, and 20-1 Bar. I just hope that nothing sort of vaguely young comes through, beats Bless the Wings by 15 lengths again, and everyone's going to start shouting about how he's the second coming, because that didn't work out very well for our Duke in the end.
No, that's true.
The Irish Grand National is the 5 o'clock at Fairy House on Monday. No doubt that will be live on Racing Radio. And lots of great racing to come from Fairy House over the next few days and here in Britain. It's like the weird crossover, isn't it, Andrew, between the jump season and the flat season, the passing of the torch.
Yeah, it has been a bit strange because we had the Lincoln, then we didn't get any flat turf racing until Bath on Friday. We've got the All-Weather Championships. That was fantastic on Good Friday as well. The French coming over here and
taking our races body fresh.
So yeah, there's been something for everybody. The Dubai World Cup as well, if you're into the sand racing in the desert. So we've got the Grand National to look forward to as well, like you said.
It's all happening.
It's all go.
And the best place to keep up to date with it all is here on the Daily Racing Podcast. Andrew, thanks for joining us on today's edition.
John, I've enjoyed it. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.